Praise the Lord and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who's very blessed and thankful to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name. And I do pray for all the precious family of God everywhere and ask your continued prayers for me as they are appreciated. And I thank the Lord for the broadcast and the daily bread as it's much needed and good food for the soul. Thank you, Brother Rice, for all your good edifying preaching of Jesus. Just keep on preaching with the love and joy you always have in your heart. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come as my prayer. And Lord, bless all the saints everywhere and Maranatha.
I've got an article here about LeBron James. This is the Time magazine. And I read a little deal on my phone about Caitlin Clark. Well, sometime I look at her shoot the hoop and pass the ball and get fancy. They are gifted athletes. But here's what I want to say. The deal talked about Caitlin's practice. She don't sleep in. She get up early in the morning. And she get about business. Yes, she does. She get about her business. She sacrifices. She's very disciplined. Now, shame on us. That's why I'm saying it. Basketball is not greater than the God who saved us. However, we don't give to our great God like they give to the sports. And I'm here to tell you that basketball, football, swimming, none of these things are greater than the God who saved us. I'm trying to elicit a righteous response out of us. I'm going to read what it says about LeBron. It talks about all of his accomplishments, more than I've done. I've not made any money with the basketball I've shot. Yeah, I've shot a little basketball, but I didn't impress nobody, and I certainly didn't make any money. If I was going to make a living on it, I'd starve to death. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But throughout a rare exclusive interview, James is utterly locked in. In fact, I can't recall an athlete more present for one of these sit-downs. As some half dozen people hovered around him, James maintains his focus, answering each question that comes at him, including the most pressing one. How long does he want to keep playing? James is 41 years old. Now he's still a pup. However, he's playing basketball is not like going to the woodpile. Here's what he says. He says, up to the mind. Where the mind goes, the body will lay. He said, when I am not in love with getting to the arena on game day 5 hours before preparation. How about that? When I'm not in love, listen to it. When I'm not in love with getting to the arenas on game day 5 hours before to start my preparation. Now, does that provoke us? Yes. Well. I'm looking around. I guess, see what I'm saying? No matter how, and that's what I do. Whatever I read, you know, I'm going to put something spiritual to it. And you see how I did that? They make great sacrifice. They are disciplined, they press, they strive. And he says he's in love. Well, what about you? You in love with Jesus? I see. Y'all hate me, don't you? Praise the Lord. Well, please hear what I say. Please be exhorted, be admonished. I mean, if they can get up 5 hours to go, at least we can show up on time. What do you think? Well, everybody's not here. See what I'm saying? Of course, I mean when I talk like this. You know, Pastor, don't take all that. Well, that's not what James says. LeBron James said it takes all of that. And he said, when I get to the point where I can't do that, then I'm going to quit. See? Well, Brother Sarah made the comment once. He said, some of us are here, but we've left. Well. Amen. You know, maybe we're just taking up space. You know, like the song say, one one more mouth to feed, one more person to clean up after. All right? Now, we're saints of God. And the word tells us, walk worthy. That means walk like we're saints of God. Love like we're saints of God. Be disciplined like we're saints of God. Huh? Press and strive like we're saints of God. Don't be nonchalant. Now, some of us have just accepted this nonchalance. We let it get on us like a disease, and we can't seem to shake it. But we can. First, we have to admit that it's on us. And really, we don't get excited like we should when we think about the cross. We have to say that. We should say that we left our first love. We'd have to say that in order to return. If we don't say it, we'll never get back. Don't fear, though. God's going to have a people. Like I said yesterday, and he come to save sinners. If you don't be one, he'll find the sinner to save. Yes, he will. There's plenty of them. Yeah, one sinner, one monkey don't stop the show. So Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He will save sinners. All right? Hallelujah. All right, Timothy said he had something for us today. So we pray that God give Timothy unction and anointing and the wherewithal to come forth with what God has given him. And I pray for us as well that we would receive it, then graft it where it would meekness, that we would, you know, give him looks that would encourage him. You understand. And say a few amens and right on, brother. All right. Now, I told him he had about 60 minutes. What he told me was, you put me in a crunch. I don't go for that. No. He got something to say. He can say it in 60 minutes. If he can't, then he had nothing to say. Absolutely. 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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Give God the praise.
Give God the praise. Praise the Lord. Give God the praise.
Can you hear me all right, saints? Okay, thank you, Jesus. Well, I guess I start just with a testimony. I like the testimonies. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And it seems like the Lord's been having us say our testimonies. They're good and they help us, and we get a lot of insight. I think they help me, but they help, I think, the saints if we can get something out of it. Sister Sherry says she sees her and everyone a testimony in some way. That's very good. Anyway, when I began this journey, a baby Christian, I didn't know nothing about. Didn't read the Bible, didn't go to church. But God apprehended me, started me on this journey, and began with hearing of the prophet. And God revealed to me I was his son. So I was living down in Louisiana with Dave Bish and Charles. And you know, I knew that God actually had me moving in faith. I didn't even know what faith was. He just was paving the way and opening the doors, and things would just happen for me. And anytime I got in a little trouble, God would just like almost instantaneously come to my rescue. And Dave had a little testimony about that when he was going through a while back. He said, years ago he had an affliction in his body. He just cried out, Jesus. And God healed him like instantly. And
hallelujah.
And that's how it starts. You know, we begin this journey and God sort of leads us tenderly because he knows that what we're able to bear. But what I realized was was the Lord's doing, and I needed some spiritual guidance. You know, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was listening to the prophet. And so God connected me with Pastor Rice, of course, and heard my testimony. A lot of times I'd be going through something and I would call him on the phone and say such and such and such and such. And well, he would say what the Bible would say, but I kept thinking in my mind he really wasn't telling me what I needed to hear. But what it was, I just didn't understand he was. Of course, this is a growing process, so I had to learn that. And so as time went on now, eventually moved to Grace Community. And when I got there, there was a Brother Glenn there, and he was from spent time with Brother Baker, and I guess time he spent there, he was able to gain some insight and spiritual things, and And he was able to impart that to some of the brothers. And we still sometimes say, Brother Glenn said this, Brother Glenn said that. Of course, Glenn didn't continue that. I really know where he's at now, you know. But I did receive some benefit of that. And the pastor mentioned that the other day, too. Something about his brother with the, I guess you're talking about algebra. You know, he told him about such, and he said, helped him out because his brother experienced it, and he was able to impart that to pastor. Well, anyway, so let me read the scripture. Okay, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So, Brother Rick was speaking the other day about a lot of times what we really lack is Christian fundamentals, and that's so true. I believe that. I think about that all the time. And so, let's see. So the religious spirit will seek to undermine the foundation of God, including hierarchy and authority, and the religious spirit will cause you to not to submit. So a lot of what we deal with, you know, in our battle is between the genuine and the counterfeit, of course. And so, but we need some man to guide us. God set it up that way. Okay. So if God set it up that way, then we need to walk in it. And so we need to believe in the integrity of the man of God that God puts before us. Now, he could have chose anybody to do this. Could have been Walter, Gino, anybody chose. He chose Pastor Rice, okay? So now he's prepared this vessel. He's given him what he needs. And he's not a novice.
No.
You know, and he was under authority, Brother Stair. And so, you know, and he was Brother Stair's minister. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but now God has given him the helm. Mm-hmm. And so, but we ought to realize, though, Brother Stair would say, don't overlook the obvious. And one thing we do is, a lot of times, is the devil, you know, plans his attack, he, like anything, he's going to go where he can do the most damage. So a lot of times he'll always have us question the man of God, his integrity, what he's saying, you know, and not of that, but we overlook the obvious a lot of times because we hear things like, you know, Brother Stair would say, if I was the devil, which I'm not, I would block their hearing. And so, okay, so we hear that, but are we applying it? You know, it's like a good way I thought about this is Brother Stair said they would give us more money, make it worth less. So in this country, you know, we've got gazillions of Bibles everywhere. You know, probably most Bibles in any country. But, you know, but are we reading them? Are we purposing to do it? And not that, Rick brought that out too, but even with that, you got to be careful because faith cometh by hearing. Not by reading. Not that it's not good to read your Bible and such. It is because, you know, everything requires maintenance. So what we do here, reading your Bible and praying, fasting, these are all godly exercises and they're profitable. But, you know, we need to hear the word of the Lord. And so God also sets the man up and he's a similitude. And he also does that purpose so that we can understand authority and the hierarchy. And this is a type of the kingdom. But again, don't overlook the obvious. Because a lot of times what happens is, again, the devil's going to try to work in situations that's going to cause the most damage. Okay. Now, one thing he does, he capitalizes on our sores. Now, what is that? We get these little petty issues or something. We get in our hearts and perception of our neighbor, this or that or whatever and all. And Pastor Rice has been saying that one thing that's very good is we should ascribe the best motive to our neighbor and stuff. And
absolutely.
Why is that? Well, because probably we've been too much evil surmising. We're doing it the wrong way by putting the worst motive.
Right.
Now, you may find in time that you put the best motive and then, you know, whatever, you find out that whatever. But the thing is, it's better to do it that way. And because this way you're receiving your brothers, you're being determined of nothing among us, Christ is crucified. And so one time, now every day I pray for God to send saints here. Like Brother Stair said, there's going to be 200 saints here. So I believe that God wants a remnant here. I don't know if it's going to be exactly 200 miles. It's going to be, I don't know all that. But as you see, God has been adding saints here, even as the past, I mean, the prophet has passed. And, but brother, you know, pastor says one time about top shelf saints. You know, say, well, okay, we want saints to come here, but we want top shelf saints. Well, what's a top shelf saint? Probably thinking somebody like us, okay? So, you know, or somebody, you know, that's got a nice back and they can do this or that or whatever and all. And, but no, every one of God's sins is a top shelf saint.
Hallelujah.
Because it's the one God has chosen. Okay, and Pastor has been talking about it. We all have our proper gift. And so what that means in a sense is whatever we have, talents, gifts, and even our makeup as such, it's very important for the, I call the saint soup. It makes you, now, because we don't know what it's going to take to save us. It's too many jots and tittles, okay? But God has it all figured out. And so what we do is we have to always look to have the right response. And so you know, and we don't want to despise our neighbor. And so what we do is sort of like when Jesus said, what do you have? And he said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, what do you have? Well, we have Walter, we have Sherry, we have Brother Patterson. So you work with what you have. And we have the ministry of reconciliation, which means that, you know, we don't try to change our brother or sister. We take them like they are. And now, don't get me wrong. You see it's a mannerism or something that's not right. I mean, we can say, well, it'd be nice if they wouldn't do that or whatever and all. We can hope for that change. But God has to work it out. You're not going to be able to do it.
You
know, and what you have to realize is most of the times when you're in these situations and circumstances, God's using this to work in you. And so now these are some of the foundations that we have to get down in our heart and embrace. Realize we're called to suffer. And Sherry asked the question, why do we suffer? Well, one of the reasons we have to suffer is because we believe with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. So for us to get truth down in the heart, we have to have a corresponding experience that goes along with it. So we hear the word preached, and then we have to go in the day of application and try it out. My classic example was Pastor Rice when he cut his leg with a chainsaw. You know, I know he believed that it was dangerous using a chainsaw, but after he cut his leg, I guarantee he believes a little bit more intense. Now, I had an experience where I cut my thumb with a table saw. Same thing. I knew that thing was dangerous. But since I've done that, a whole lot more careful. And so God has to do that. So he has to write these experiences on our heart. And so I was thinking about, and as we grow in grace, the trials intensify. But the purpose is to get you ready for the next trial. Okay, but God always, he always balances the scale. So when you begin this journey, like Dave's testimony, he cried, Jesus! And God came to his rescue. Well, I've experienced that too. You know, but as time goes on, now he wants to get you to grow a little more and getting that root down in your heart. And you can only do that through experiences. You get experiences that'll cause you to be able to stand in the trial and the fire. This is trying to fire. It's experiences that we need. And so like Sister Marie's testimony, remember, she said she was going through a time where darkness. Well, God will allow, he'll engineer these trials and all to, you know, cause us to challenge our status with him so we can dig down deep and get that root of self that God's really wanting to save us. And let's see, how did I have it written? God will cause your heart to experience his integrity. And so what had to happen with that situation is, no, she held to it. She says, he said he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. And that's what's going to happen and go through this stuff. But she did use a little wisdom in that. What did she do? She went to Edward. And she asked Edward about it. And Edward told, no, just stand still. And see, we should do that, saints. You know, Jesus said, when you become very straight in a brother. And then when he took Peter, James, and John a little further, he took them a little further so they could strengthen the other ones. So one way, because we're all not at the same level of growth and stuff, we can redeem the time by, you know, getting with others and stuff. God will put you with a brother or sister or something that can help you along this way. He put me with Sister Ann. You know, I, as much as lies in me, I do everything I can to strengthen her spiritually. Now, whether she receives it or not, it's not my part. You know, even me standing up and preaching, you know, I don't want to say anything contrary to what's been said here. I don't want to say anything contrary to what Pastor Rice said. You know, this walk that we have with the Lord is one in complete agreement. It's a parallel walk. And so, you know, so anytime we come and stuff, and this is a jewel that Pastor brought out here lately. I don't know if I ever heard it before, but I received it when he said it, is that we're ever learning, ever learning. So we're not done. And he said the other day he's not an expert in Scripture. And so, but God will give us what he will give the man of God what he needs. And he'll give it to us when needed. But we have to believe in the integrity of the man of God. And Brother Stair said the other day that, you know, God invested his time and all in here. You know, he's not going to, he told Brother Stair he wouldn't let him fail, and he didn't. And I don't think he let Brother Pastor Rice fail. He won't let us fail.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so, oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so, but like in the trials, God's always going to balance the scale. Okay, when you start out, you're down here, you're getting the milk of the word, and you're tender, and so God leads you tenderly, and he brings you through a trial, and you grow in grace a little bit. Well, the trial's going to be a little more intense, okay, but you see the balance of the scale. What you're able to bear, then you might go a little bit more like this, a little more like this, going to intensify. And so he's wanting us to really get down to heart that God is with us and his determination to save us. And not only that, but we have these things in our heart, you know, because the heart is so deceitful and above all desperate wicked. Who can know it? Well, he knows what's in our heart. And so he's going to put us through situations and circumstances to engineer our trials. And he's going to know the intensity of it, the length of it, and the time of deliverance. Because, you know, he wants us to be delivered. So, but we have to be mindful of the time of our visitation. And a lot of times he'll work through the authority. The man of God, your brother, your sister. See, that's why it's so necessary. We need every brother, every sister, because like Pastor brought out the other day, you know, it's part of the perfecting process, you know. I mean, we can get off by ourselves somewhere, you know, on the mountain and rub our beard and think we're all spiritual, you know, and we get all big head and get puffed up, whatever and all, but, you know, and so we find out where we are based on what happens between as we interact, you know. Like Brother Dave Marotta would say is, when your brother comes and rattles your cup, what comes out is in the cup, you know. Amen. And so, you know, but we need to apply the scriptures because, and the basic fundamentals, which is submission, obedience, discipline. That's what Pastor Rice is talking about. We press. You know, we're going to go through tribulation to be saved. So, but we need to realize that God's purpose is for us to be saved. Now, when God does anything, he does it with purpose and wisdom and out of necessity. So the way he does it is right. He knows what he's doing. So our part is just agree. And so, you know, that's where we get in trouble a lot of times because, especially when he tells us the truth about us, because it generally lays us low. Really does. I mean, you know, we don't like to look at ourselves and say, but, you know, but the truth, we have to really have a love for the truth. And, you know, so God watches over his word to perform it. Now, that's in the submission and disobedience. You know, so remember, the sword cuts in, cuts out, or cuts off. You know, so we need to move with fear. So the fear of the Lord is so essential in this time. And one way we can get the fear of the Lord is through observation. Now, what we do is we just see things that are fearful. And it should cause us. And also, you say, from the heart, except for the grace of God, there go I. And I remember when, you know, a good example is when Candace Haddock was here. And the pastor was doing everything he could to try to help her and stuff, and she was just all frivolity and silly, whatever, and all. And I remember one time he cried under his dying horse, Candace Haddock, you're playing with your soul. Candace Haddock, you're playing with your soul. When he said that, and I'm looking at her, no fear, boy, it gripped my soul. I thought, wow. I said, you see that? You know, and we deal with perception, a lot of things. And, you know, and one time we came here and Brother Steer emphasized perception. And he said, you have to have the right perception to go on to perfection. So what's the right perception? The right perception, we have the right perception, the wrong perception, or limited perception. Most of the time, we have limited perception. So whenever we're looking at things and stuff, we have to try looking through a spiritual mind. And we also have to consider the error factor. You just don't know everything. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, and a good example is, I haven't seen all these children with nice kids. I like the little red-haired girls. There's no, but that's a fearful sight in a sense. Why? Because 99, 9/10% of children in this generation are going to be born to receive the Antichrist. Okay? The mark of the beast is coming. How are you going to feed those children? When I see Brother Mark coming with his little girls, little boys, I mean, and, you know, I love Brother Mark. But when I look at that, I'm thinking, those are woes. And that causes me to tremble. You know, I love Brother Mark. I wish he'd be here. You know, Robert, you know, all of them. But, you know, what I'm saying is, and then we've seen things happen over here in the graveyard. Now these cause us to fear, saints. And even in the scripture, it talks about when the one got in without a wedding garment. And his servant says, well, how'd you get in? Well, the servant let me in. And he had to be cast out. Well, I believe, why did God have that written? So the rest will fear. So we'll fear. And so we need to fear the Lord. Now, okay, Jesus said, search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, and all they do is testify of me. So what are the scriptures? And why would we search them? Okay. Well, we've been told the scriptures is the letter of the opened up. The letter opened up, okay. Well, God uses the man of God to do that. Okay, so if it's scripture, then it should be worthy of all acceptation. So when the man of God stands up, he preaches the word, it's scriptural, it's written, it's worthy of all acceptation. So we're without excuse. You know, here at the Overcomer, you know, we've been, you know, what advantage do we have? Well, much in every way. We hear lots of preaching. Why does God have to give so much preaching? Well, one of the reasons is, when you look at the parables of where the sower, what happens with the word, is, you know, we start out in pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. We start this journey. And our hearts are sort of hardened. And so God has to continually hit us with the word. Hit us with the word until we finally can get it down in our heart. But in the process of doing that, we have to also not harden our heart. And what will help us when receiving the word is our desires. You know, if you have a desire, like I said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you have the right desire for God, he'll put his word in your heart, it'll take conception, it'll grow. Well, if you have a desire for worldly things, you know, then the devil will get in there and plant his seeds, and that'll grow. You know, so it works either way. You know, so, help me, Jesus. Okay, and then you have to remember, saints, that sin lieth at the door. Now, what I'm saying is this, is I like this, I want to show it, see this in a picture, understanding because in these packages we are, you know, we still have a propensity to sin. You know, think of it like as a you know, maybe a tiger or something hiding in the jungle, whatever, just waiting to pounce on his prey. It's kind of like that. Sin's just waiting to have its way. And so that's why it's always important for us to be looking to do the right thing and stuff and be obtaining God in our knowledge. And one thing we should always do is sanctify the Lord in our knowledge. And all that we experience and all, we got to put God in knowledge. And when I was... need a drink of water. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we have these issues that we deal with and stuff and things that we encounter. And let's see, the seven tests of Job. Now, we told we're going to be going through the seven tests of Job, and one of them is, I remember, is bereavement. And I'm saying this because I think about Sister Mary out there. She's grieving over the loss of her child and stuff. So we suffer, saints, but the suffering we have is a peculiar suffering. It's for the cause of Christ. And it's because God's working out his goodwill and pleasure in us, so we'll have eternal life when it's all over and done with. Now, I had, you all know my testimony, my parents getting killed. And that was bereavement. That was happening on my 19th birthday. So, but God brought me through that.
Hallelujah.
And so, if you're going to get comfort in these situations, the only one you're going to be able to comfort you is the God of all comfort. And so God brought me comfort me in that. But what was the thing that helped me in that is to realize the sovereignty of God.
Thank you, Lord.
We got to sanctify the Lord in the heart. And he's in everything. And if he's, everything belongs to him. And if he's doing it this way, it's right. And so, she's grieving over loss of her child and stuff. Well, God will comfort her in that. One thing is she realized that probably this is God telling her, look, you're going through the seven tests of Job with brothers here, saying, okay, you're a child of God, and realize that his sovereignty. And all, Sister Angela gave a testimony about, when she's a young girl, things that happened to her was real dramatic. And but she said when she put God in the knowledge, that gave her great deliverance in that. She understood that the Lord was in it. And we should do that in everything. Understand that God engineers all our trials, puts us in these situations, circumstances. And he knows the intensity of it, the length of it, and the time of deliverance. So you'll go through these times where you can't find God. You'll be like, and Job said, I looked for him over here, I looked over there, can't find him. Well, what God's doing in that situation, he's trying to get you established in the faith, rooted and grounded. And through these trials, the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart, rooted and grounded in love. And so God's writing these experiences on our heart so that we're being prepared for the greater trials. And so we're going to be in time, the most intense time of the church since the beginning of the church. So, in the process of doing it, God knows our package. He knows our frailties. So, he has to prepare us. And the preparation is more of the heart than anything else. Now, we're in a time, I think, we're being seemingly forsaken by God. We need healings and deliverance and such. And so, but I believe those are going to come. But I think in the process of doing that, he wants to just keep on establishing our faith, hold your faith. We don't need the external signs. Amen. Because what they did in the Philadelphia church age and all, a lot of that didn't hold them.
Right.
So more blessed do they believe without seeing. But I still believe they're coming.
Yeah.
Rick, Brother Stair brought out, we're going to be saved and we know we're saved. We're going to be healed, we know we're healed. Ooh. He's going to restore the joy of salvation. And we are going to need that, saints, to go through the tribulation. And God knows our frame. He remembers our frame that we are but dust. Okay, let's see. Spoken about that. Now, the devil, I said, will capitalize on our sores. And a lot of times, I thought about this as an allegory, and a lot of things fall out in the waiting. So, if we just had to wait a short time, then everybody probably go through flying colors. But in the waiting process, a lot falls out, and really what shows us that we're missing the mark. But when a man and woman start to get together, they want to court, and the man's on his best behavior, she's safer, and a lot of times the woman looks at him as, her knight in shining armor, Mr. Wonderful, and she's like Cinderella in her application. And this is how it is, and this is how it works. And so how it works for us, because remember, God gently leads us. Well, then what happens is time goes on, maybe you get married and stuff. Well, the real trial of love comes in. It's in endurance when the adversity comes and all that and stuff. And so that's what happens with us a lot of times. We start out and we think, we didn't think it was going to be like this. Okay? And so, but we have to remember now, All his thoughts are us, our thoughts of peace and not evil, to give us an expectant end. You know, and our husband, he is Mr. Wonderful. He is he's wonderful. He is our knight in shining armor. He's the whole armor of God. Okay. So, and what happens is every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. So, you know, so the woman, like, maybe she'll get a little disillusioned. You know, didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to be. And then if you're not careful, she can end up going and committing adultery. And that's what happens with us a lot of times. We seek other lovers. We get disillusioned. Okay, we move away. And a lot of it is because our expectations or, you know, the way we thought it would be, it didn't turn out to be. And so we think, well, he wasn't our knight in shining armor. He wasn't Mr. Wonderful. No. What happened was, you weren't Cinderella. Okay. Yeah. You weren't Cinderella. Okay. So that's what happens, see. And so what happens is, we have sores, but every man must know his own sore. Too often our sores are to our neighbor. And you have to remember that the devil capitalizes on this. And a lot of times what he does is he works with what we say. You know, if I say brother so-and-so is a diesel dork or something, you know, and then he'll start putting thoughts in your mind, mistrust, malice, you know, and before you know it, it'll build. Because remember, he looks for a halting, he goes about seeking whom he may devour, you know, and he's looking for somebody to disgruntle, somebody's complaining, you know, and what he'll do is he'll just take you farther than you want to go. Now, even yourself, we're going to miss the mark. And a lot of times we're going to go through these things, and we get to a point where we sin, we get tired of sin, or sin's got to look to be exceedingly sinful. So we can end up crying out like Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall live in body and death?" Because his salvation is of the Lord. So, and he's going to come and save us sort of in the nick of time. And he's going to get all the glory. All right, something I wanted to say here. Let's see. Okay, the Bible says to muzzle not the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, that's the New Testament, and it's referring to the preacher, the man of God. And we do that. We can do that in many ways. And probably the best way we do it is we just don't do what he says. We don't receive what he says. But, you know, we could go behind his back and say something contrary, or we could think that, you know, he's just not getting it right, you know, and all these things. And so, you know, the man of God, he speaks for God, but he also sits in place of judgment, and God helps him in the judgment. Now, is he prone to miss the mark? Well, the pastor can miss the mark like anybody else. But if he does, God's already got it factored in. Okay, and God could overturn his judgment, you know, and like Edward brought out about Brother Stair. Brother Stair would say all the time, God could overturn a judgment. And Edward said there's times he's seen him do it, you know. So what I'm saying is, faith in God has mainly, the main element is trust. So by us having faith in God, we trust in the ones that God puts before, and one another as well and stuff. So we have to be careful. Again, this is where the enemy will try to get us to despise the man of God and not receive his word. And now, it's interesting, Pastor, you know, he here late, Ray stood up and he's talking about being in a place of repentance. Okay, if you read in the Old Testament, when David was bringing up the ark, the ox stumbled, and Uzzah, he steadied the ark, and God killed him. Now, what does that represent? Well, I believe what he's saying is, and it's been prescribed, is, you know, God even allowed the man of God to stumble in a way. And he'll do that for a purpose of working out something. So we don't want to put our hands to that. In other words, we don't want to despise him, or we don't try to square him up. Okay, and just like with Brother Stan, when he confessed his sin, God worked to work with that. You know, so here the man of God stood up and he's talking about, he's walking his repentance. Well, he's also an example. So he's telling us, he's saying, look, I'm giving you a space to repent, return. And I was thinking it this way, and interesting, let me see, we got this paper. Rick had this, they had Rick on the broadcast here, and hopefully I got this in here. But Neil actually brought this out to me, and That was interesting. It was good, too, that Neil did that. See how the body works? He told me something. Anyway, it's a Jewish tradition, a Jewish custom. And he was talking about in 2001 when Brother Steer confessed his sin, God was using that for coming into the feast days. And it's like a custom that the Jews have where they go into a place of repentance and return. And they confess their faults and all. It's preparing them for the final judgment. And he used the man of God as an example in 2001. So here we are, 2026. And so we all need to repent. And so we thank God for that. So again, you know, because he sort of stands out in the limelight a little more than some of the rest of us. And so, but that's why I also got to realize, because God's using him as a similitude, that the devil will try to get us not to receive him. Okay. Okay, talk about hearing. Now, in the scripture, it talks about time we ought to be teachers, time we need to be taught again, and you can become dull of hearing. So I have a definition for dull of hearing. Now I want to, before I read the definition, let's see. I sort of like it like this, like a picture you can see. Let's say you start this journey, and you begin right here. You got to get to the door when the door of grace shuts. So you start walking, and all of a sudden you get about this far, and then you just kind of quit. Kind of like the story of the rabbit and the tortoise going through the race. The rabbit goes so far, and then he just, I'll kick back, you know, I'll make it through that. And like one place Paul said, you did run well. What did hinder you? And so what can happen is you get so far in there, you receive the word, and then you sort of get complacent. You get nonchalant. You know, whatever. And so you think you're where you need to be, and you don't want to, and you don't continue on, you know. And this is a process, a learning process. And it's a growth. So dullness of hearing, a state of spiritual sluggishness, apathy or intensity to God's voice. It means a person has heard the truth, but their heart has become hardened, making them unable to and or unwilling to understand, accept, or apply spiritual teachings instead of progressing in their faith. To understand solid food or deeper biblical truths, they have regressed and remain like spiritual infants who still need milk. Sluggish, lazy, or slowful, it describes people who were once eager but grew careless and neglectful in their spiritual walk, linked to a willful refusal to obey. The result? It leads to a loss of spiritual discernment, making you vulnerable to falling away or adapting false teachings. Nonchalant, no fear, not teachable, stagnant. Okay, so another thing that can affect our hearing is what we call in the uncircumcised ear. Okay, now uncircumcised ear represents spiritual deafness or an obstinate refusal to listen to God's truth. It implies a closed-off, stubborn attitude where a person hears the words but allows prejudice to block the message from penetrating their heart. And Brother Steer spoke this, and he said that where you turn, you turn off the things, or where you won't turn off the things of the world, like jobs, family, rock music, right, and your resistance to divine wisdom, and your resistance to the Holy Ghost. So these things are, because we're in this package, saints, you know, we're vulnerable to these things. It's written for our learning, all, not that we fall into it, so that we can be warned to, you know, even if we get in a situation, we can repent. So God's always called us to repentance. Return, return. And that's why it's important to hear the preaching, because a lot of times, you know, because the heart's deceitful, we just don't know where we're at. And so that's why, you know, I always thought about Pastor Rice or the men of God as an allegory. It's sort of like, you know, when you're going down the road and your underwear's hanging out and you can't see it. So the man of God comes by and he says that let you know you're in a shameful condition. Well, as you examine yourself, you figure out he's right. Okay, but you have to start out figure out what he's telling you is right, begin with. Examine yourself. And so, and this is, again, this is one of them foundations that our hearts are deceitful. And so if we don't realize, you know, we're sinners and we need to be saved, but we have to not overlook the obvious. We get told this all the time, but just being told it don't mean we're applying it. We're not walking in. We're not doing it. You know, just being here at the Overcomer don't mean we're, he just said today, we're striving to go in. You know, are we pressing to go to the prayer house? You know, and is it, if it's scriptural, then it should be worthy of all acceptation. Now let's see. See if I got the scripture here. Pastor Rice, let's see. Spoke about us getting, we needed the fear of the Lord. And we need to actually get up and cry out. We need the fear of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for having mercy on me, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'm looking for this. The other day I was considered it. The Lord wanted me to do this. And all of a sudden I sort of in my spirit said, I don't want to do this. And I no sooner said that than the fear of the Lord gripped me. And that thought went right out of my head. So saints, I'm standing here in the fear of the Lord. Believe me. Hallelujah. I have it in my heart if you can find it. But anyway, it's... The Bible talks about needing knowledge. You lift up thy voice to ask for knowledge, which is talking about the fear of the Lord or wisdom. And so the things that Pastor Rice tells us, they're scriptural. So they should be worthy of acceptation, which means we should apply them and we should believe them. And let's see. Okay, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Okay, why does God tell us that? We stand in jeopardy every hour. So that we'll remember the fear of the Lord, that we need to move with fear. And again, we have to be careful we don't overlook the obvious. And that is, we hear this stuff all the time. But is it just, is it rhetoric to us? Or are we walking it, you know? And even, like when, this is a good account, is when the, and we need some man to guide us. And in the books of Acts, you had the eunuch. And these guys, these eunuchs, he was for Candace, queen of Ethiopia. But anyway, these guys, when they prepare them, they profile them. They see, they know they're not just poop stains. In other words, they're intelligent folks. They show some abilities and such. Very intelligent. Probably spoke several languages to do the queen's business and all, okay? But God gave this man some wisdom. Because he went to Jerusalem to worship. He had the scriptures, and he was reading them. Now, God translated Philip up to the eunuch. Now, this is the thing. When the student is ready, the children of the teacher appears. So God sent the man to him to preach to him. Now, he said, understand what y'all readeth? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? Well, there's a lot of wisdom in that and stuff. And, you know, I think about Brother Neil over there. He's a brother. He's got lots of education, very smart, very capable of doing a lot of things and stuff. But in that, you have to be careful because, you know, that knowledge is an enemy of faith. And it'll get you puffed up and make you think, well, you know, I've got all this intelligence stuff. You know, I don't need some man to guide me. Well, no, wisdom says you still do. And like I said, if God set it up that way, that's the way it's got to be done. And you're only going to prosper in that. You know, and so... the more we believe this, the more we walk in it. Again, don't overlook the obvious. Because a lot of times, because we hear these stuff, we're not necessarily walking in. Okay, let's see. Okay, the Bible says, when you become converted, strengthen your brother. And like I said, Jesus took some of Peter, James, and John, the very elect. He took them a little farther. And one reason he did that to strengthen the others. So now we're in a time we need to redeem the time. And so God will put you with a brother or sister, somebody that can kind of help you along the way and stuff. But don't despise or reject that person. That doesn't mean they're necessarily trying to show you they're more spiritual than you are. Whatever and all, they might just be trying to admonish you, which is a lawful activity in for the purpose of love and actually want to encourage and strengthen you in the body and stuff. You know, because whatever we do, we either do it right or wrong. And even if they are trying to exalt themselves or something, if they're telling you what's right, still you want to do it. You know what I'm saying? So the onus is always on us to have the right response. You know, and so when we get up in the morning, you know, we don't say, by golly, today I just ain't gonna do right. You know, we don't do that. Does anybody do that here? Let's see, Michelle. No, we don't. We all think that I'm going to do right today. I'm going to do what's right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we all have a tendency to do what's right in our own eyes. So then that's why we need somebody to have the standard. You know, when the enemy comes in like the flood, God will raise up a standard. And that would be the man of God. He'd tell us this or that. And, you know, if we come here and we know that not one iota of our will is going in the kingdom. So when you become born again, and that's your first work of grace, realize God's forgiven you your sin. It's time for you to go on. But you can't stay there. You have to go to the second work of grace, which is sanctification, where your whole life, everything's Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, and so when you're aiming toward the mark, that's the mark. You know, so when they come in here and you say, well, let's do onions or whatever, that's it.
Hallelujah.
That's the will of God for today. Oh, let's go do the taste. Okay, let's go do it. So I'm saying, you just be willing, and you know, and even if I often think about, you know, when I began this journey, where I grew up, I had a dad like Pastor Rice. So my dad told me to do something, I did it. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't question whether it was right or wrong. My dad told me to do it, I did. I was glad to do it, because I wanted to stay in his favor. So when I began this journey, you know, I was going to be the perfect Christian, you know. I was going to cross every T and dot every I. Boy, if God said it, I'm going to do it. Well, pretty soon I figured out I couldn't do it, you know. So even trying to keep the law in itself is not a bad thing to go, except for nothing. They'll figure out you can't do it, you know. And so you need God to bring you through this. And so as he brings us through the operation of his hand, we have to be in the endurance of it. We have to realize that we're going to suffer. We have to have a mind to suffer. And when I began this journey, it was around the Y2K and all that. And God instilled something in my heart. And I think he did something similar with Cheryl there. And he said, don't get this idea in your mind. It's going to be a certain time, this or that or whatever. It's until. So my mindset all the time is that we don't have much time and we need to move with fear. Redeem the time and understand that, you know, destruction's coming, these things are going to happen, and we don't know what a day is going to bring. But at the same time, you also have to have the heart to endure, because you don't know how long you're going to have stuff. You know, we don't. But I believe as time goes on and stuff, we'll know a little closer where we're at and stuff. But things are going to intensify, saints. You know, all things are not going to continue as were. I mean, you look around now, just the things that happen, wow. I remember one time when I was living in a subdivision back where I lived, and a young boy went up to the 7-Eleven there, and he was friends with the lady that worked there, and he ended up stabbing her to death and murdering her, and had it on camera, and just to get a little bit of cash out of the register, and he got some of the money out of a little dispensary, learned how to do it. I thought that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard of. I thought, why would I do something? A young boy, he was like 18 years old, and phew, nowadays, there's so much of that. I mean, mass murders, and I mean, it's crazy. I've seen some of these little clips I got there, putting people in prison for 500 years. I mean, what are they doing? My God. They're sentenced like 500 years in prison. And they're just crazy. They're like, wow, you know, and they've got tattoos all over them and stuff. And fearful sights. Yeah, we should be glad to be here. We shouldn't complain. I'm telling you, you just look around. Okay, so remember, saints, the devil will try to capitalize on our sores, and a lot of time our sores are something just that we just perceive. They're not really real. Okay, let's see. Tribulation. So it gives experiences. This confirms God's integrity in the heart. The love of God is being shed abroad in the heart. You really believe God loves you, and through these experiences, complete truth. And so let's see, we resist the truth. Let's see. Okay, so I want to just read this about godly exercise. So what should we be doing? I get my phone, I get a little report on my phone, I have no new phone. It gives me a report how much time I use on my phone. And it tells me I'm averaging about 2 hours a day. So I think that's all right. I use it for concordance and send texts and look at the weather and all that and such. Nothing wrong with that. And but you have to remember that, it only looks obvious. How much time do we spend on our phone? Well, how much time do we spend looking at the Bible? How much time do we think about meditating on God's Word? You know, how much time do we spend helping the brethren as opposed to hiding in our trailer? You know, I'm saying, so what are we doing with our time? You know, if you're hiding in your trailer, three people know it. First of all, you know it. Your brother knows it. And definitely God knows it. Okay, and so, and one thing, that's what I'm going to talk about just a little here. So you have to remember that we've been told, especially here, that we give all. And, you know, Pastor Rick talks about it all the time, that some hold back some of their money. Okay, well, for what? Why do people hold back the money? That's a crazy thing. Don't we believe that the mark of the beast is coming? I mean, and people ask Brother Steer, he said, how are you going to live without money? And Brother Steer says, I live with it now. See, when you give it all, then you know what I'm saying? We're using it. You just got to give it all. And so money's a test, saints. I mean, you know, it says money answers all things. And so, okay, but there's no end to that, you know, and the money's going to run out. You know, so now we're here, we're in the green season. You know, God's trying us now. You know, so we're going to expect Him to sustain us in the tribulation when the mark of the beast is, and we're not trusting Him now and hold back our funds and all that. For what? I mean, I got more than I need. I mean, I got plenty. If I need, I get here. And it says now there's a sore even of land. Let's see, maybe I'll read that one. So remember, money is mainly a test, and prosperity is not the blessing of God. It's the trial, the test. And that's one of the seven tests of Job. How are we going to do in the prosperity? You know, Paul said, "I learned to be abased. I learned to be bound. Whatever situation, thereby be content." Okay. Moreover, the profit of the earth is. For all the king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them, and what good is there to the owners thereof, saving to be holding of them with their eyes? The sleeping of the labor man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept back for the owners thereof to their hurt. Now those riches perish by evil travail and the begot of a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Okay, and I wrote on here that says, the bridge you don't burn is the one you go back on. And that's what Brother Stair would say. And I remember when Dave Bish was here, and I, you know, like I said, I had lived with Donovan. I come here, and he had a little chiropractor shop set up over there, and when I would come, he'd call me over there and such. And I could tell he was starting to go south. He wasn't talking right about Brother Steer. And I would just try to steer him in the right direction. I'd say, Dave, come on, man. Because I knew. But I always suspected, because I knew my dealings with him, that he just had a bank account and never gave his money. So then Tom, he left. So he probably, you know, so... I don't know, it's like a just in case. What do you call that? You know, if it don't work out, you'll have a little money with it. Yeah. It's like, so, and he left, you know. So I got no place to go, saints. You know, I put all my effort. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go anywhere else, you know. So, you can't outgive God. I've never had it so good. I remember Brother Kurt's testimony about that. He's never had it so good. Well, I can say the same thing. And so God has been good to me, and so, you know, we need to give it. Because, again, remember, God's trying us now. So, now every man should know his own sore. And so we do have our own sore. And God requires us to repent of that. And so too often we got these sores concerning our neighbor, this or that or whatever. In the process of doing, we're distracted. We're not looking what's going on with us. You know, and so... you know, again, the onus is on us, whatever situation, circumstance we get in, God's engineering and orchestrating us to try us. And we need that, because I don't know what, I mean, our hearts, we got to get the dross out, you know, and we have to receive every brother, every sister, you know, if God sends them here, whatever. Top shelf saint, a peculiar saint, God's treasure. And with a peculiar saint, we also have peculiar sufferings. And thank God we can do this for the cause of Christ. And like Pastor said, you know, we people, God, you see that all the time, that great sacrifice for what? A corruptible crown? Vanity. It's all vanity. You know, they talk about the bucket list and this kind of stuff. Man, we just, you know, so for the cause of Christ, we do these things, you know. And I suffer. I got multiple afflictions in my body and stuff. But as much as lies with me, I want to be able to do something. Jesus, I don't want to be hanging on my trailer. You know, I thank God that He's named me. I think I really consider it a privilege and honor to do something for God.
Hallelujah.
Help the people, God, anything I can. I mean, you know, in my conversation here, if I can help you, I try to. Much alive within me. And in that, it's just a reasonable service. What Jesus has done for me, whew. Oh, Lord. Okay, so I want to read this godliness. It's a godly exercise. And so the fear of the Lord is something that we really need. The Bible tells you lift up your voice and ask for it. I believe we should ask for it every day. We should ask for wisdom every day. And one reason I believe that is because the man of God does that. You know, he's a prayer leader, shows us how to do it. Okay, a godly exercise, spiritual fitness or spiritual exercise such as prayer, studying, and living righteously is profitable unto all things. It benefits your life now, bring peace, joy, and healthy relationships, and holds eternal promises for the future. This is a quote from Brother Wilkerson, and he talked about delight. Now remember, desire, again, is something. If we have the right desire, then God will give us the desire, the desires of our heart, the right desires. Each day I delight to spend time with Jesus. He said, even in times of trouble and great distress, even when I've sinned, I delight to spend time with Jesus. When I neglect to come to Him, it's like I become lonely for Him. So we need to conduct ourselves in a manner where we put Him first in everything before anyone or anything else. And even, you know, the Bible talks about these three men, Noah, Dan, and Job, they would save themselves from this untoward generation. And that's a generation whose hearts are not steadfast with God. And so we have to be careful with how we deal with our kinfolks and all, because we can't save them anyway. And if we're not careful, they'll pull us away. They'll move us the greatest weight. And we need to believe it. And so God tries. And actually, let's see, one of the tests of Job is domestic troubles. So domestic troubles. So we're going to get in these situations and all. But remember, this is a peculiar suffering for us. It's ones that God has determined He wants to save. And we'll have to go through it, but we'll have to go through it right, in patience, in long-suffering, and the right response, endurance. You know, I pray all the time for God to give us the spirit of perseverance and endurance, because we're going to need that. And that's the other thing, too, is if we find ourselves missing the mark, which I often think is we miss the mark basically two ways. One, we know what to do, and we don't aim. We won't aim toward the bullseye. Another thing is, if we miss the mark, we won't say we missed the mark. You know, if you miss the mark and you say you missed the mark, you still hit the mark. Mm-hmm. You know, because God didn't tell us to cross every T and dot every I. He told us to strive. Mm-hmm. He wants to see you're striving.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then even in the parable of the sower, you know, He wants to see us bring forth that fruit, and some 100, some 60, some 30. So whatever God has for you as far as producing fruit or whatever, He wants to get the most out of it, you know, because we're His witnesses. And so the sufferings that we're going to be enduring will be ones that we are able to endure, because He won't put more on us than we're able to endure. And we'll have to remember that, because sometimes it'll seem like we're being pressed beyond measure. And but also we have to remember for the joy set before us and keep the eyes on the prize and understand what's all ever done. Even things in life, we won't remember none of this. You won't remember your children, if you're whatever kin folks. You won't remember the trial. None of this you'll remember. The memory of the just is sweet and it'll bless. But consequently, you know, in hell, the worm dieth not. So they'll have a conscious awareness of what they did, why they're there, they're in hell. Okay, I don't want to go to hell. So we need to move with fear. And just to end this is one thing I think the Lord does a lot of times in the scriptures, and you know, the Bible itself basically is a notebook, and it just, he's put in there, he's very efficient in his dealings, he put in there what we need as far as instructions to help us, to guide us through this and all. But a lot of times he'll do things in there in such a way, because sort of like when you take a pen and you highlight something, you want to be able to look at it and bring it out. So you highlight it with a highlight pen. And a lot of times, like when you see in Revelation, I think it's speaking about the angel cries out with a loud voice, fear God and keep his commandments. He says, fear God! Fear God! Keep his commandments! No, he doesn't like that. Why? Because he wants us to get our attention. See? Because God's thoughts are thoughts of peace, and all you have expected in. So, but, you know, but we have to believe what is written in there. If it's scriptural, then what's scriptural? Now, that's the letter opened up. Now, everybody doesn't have the same insight in this, so he uses a man of God. But we have to believe it, and then we receive it. Then we can grow in grace. We can receive it. Okay? If it's scriptural, then it's worthy of all acceptation, and we are responsible for it. So, you know, and here at the Overcomer, we be given much. As much is given, much is required. We're not going to be able to say, well, nobody didn't tell us. You know, we won't be able to say that, saints. Nobody didn't tell us. No. Or we're not going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, well, I didn't do right because of brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. No. So you'll be standing there, helpfully, you just say, have mercy on me, Lord. Okay, and so on. I pretty much said most of what I need to say. Hallelujah. I didn't even hardly read any scriptures. Oh, here it is. I want to read this one. This is in Job. And I think I'll probably end it with this. And okay, this is Job 3:25. For the thing which I greatly fear has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come upon me. Now, fear is something that we'll have to deal with. And I'm talking about ungodly fear. Now, it'll paralyze you, but it's something you have to learn to overcome, because we're getting time as fearful sights. And one place it says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Now, we all have particular fears. There might be your, might be this or that, or whatever stuff. And so, in this, even with our little issues and our sores and things that we need to be dealt with, a lot of times the way God deals with it, he's put you right in there. You know, like say you're afraid of getting in the water. You know, he'll kick you right in the pool and say, get in there and swim. Okay. But he's not going to just leave you in there. He'll prepare you and you go through it. And so the things that, you know, so if you got something that you're fearing, that you deal with fear and stuff, well, God's going to help you to deliver you from it and stuff. And one thing will help you is the fear of the Lord, because it'll cause you to move toward God. You know, and it won't, you know, so you don't fear what man should do unto you. The fear of him can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so that's why it's imperative we have the fear of the Lord. We, in this time, especially in the end time, one of the things that God has, and it's been preached, and I believe it just to be this way, two of the things he's really going to deal with is our lack of the fear of the Lord and our covetousness. You know, we just wanted too much of our own way and stuff. You know, but God's going to deal with it. Okay, so when the time of your visitation, let it work. Let God work, you know. I mean, if God says, you know, like you said to the woman, you said, he called her dog. She said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so again, we miss the mark a lot of times because we know what to do. We're told what to do. We won't aim for it. And then if we do miss the mark, you know, we want to justify it or make excuse or this or that. No.
Amen.
You know, just repent. You know, and so the other day when Pastor Rice, when, you know, I rose up here in the dining hall, and I was in lots of pain going through this and that and all. And then I thought, you know, these sisters, they don't really know what I'm going through and all. And so I wasn't actually angry with the man of God, but I rose up. But that still wasn't right. And the thing is, what helped me with that, too, is I also thought, well, I didn't know what the sisters were going through. know what I'm saying? A lot of times we think on the things of others that'll help us. And we should do that. You know, you can say, here's old Ron and Tim up there on that hot roof. You know, two old dudes, man, just still plugging away at it, you know. You know, limping and doing whatever and all, you know, maybe we could be a little patient, you know, we got here, you know, I mean, we're going to go through a great tribulation. Well, I don't know what they're going to wait a few days, get in the pool, you know, and so, but at the same time, I thought, well, I don't know what they're going through. You know, maybe they said pool really helps them and it's, you know, whatever and all. That's how we should do it, you know. We have the scriptures, but a lot of times we overlook the obvious. We just don't apply. Just because we read it, we know it, we can quote it, don't mean we're doing it. So the hearers and the doers. The hearers and the doers. And so this is one reason why we get the repetition and all, and God brings things to our remembrance. It's like a continual blow to our memory to where we can get it down in our heart, get it down in our heart, because we have a tendency to soon forget, you know. And so we don't want to get weary in the repetition, but don't overlook the obvious. Don't get to where you say, well, I've heard that before, you know, and then being here too, because some of the saints that were here underneath, they were under Brother Sears' administration and all, and you can get sort of when he passed and God did the work, but you know, he's give Pastor Rice the helm. So make sure we don't say, well, I'm grandfathered under Brother Sears, you know, I was Brother Sears' disciple, and I'm going to do it. So we have to receive whoever God says. You know, we receive Brother Sears, we receive Pastor Rice. If we submitted to Brother Sears, we submit to Pastor Rice. It's the same way, you know. And so, because whenever Brother Stair passed, it seemed like some didn't make, you know, God turned the page in the book there, some didn't make the turn, you know. So, that's it. Praise the Lord, saints. And so, I think of the goodness of Jesus. Woo, and all that he's done for me, then my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me and keeping me. Hallelujah.
All right, brother, we thank you for your labor of love. Thank you for your labor of love, Tim. Ain't God good?
That's good.
Mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
You tell us the truth?
Yes, sir.
All right, all right. Well, what should we do with that? All right. Hallelujah. Oh, perilous times, huh? The coming of the Lord. That's God's part. He that shall come will come, will not tarry. Our part is to be ready. And it's given unto us. Of course, we have to do that by faith, through faith. All right? So, I speak as the oracles of God. I speak words of faith. We can prosper by the hearing of faith. All right? The peril that we shouldn't be so concerned, you know, timing. God's got the time all set, every detail. We are not being wise when we look at time in that way. What we should look at is our posture. I mean, really look at our posture, our spiritual state. God's going to do his part. We need to look at our spiritual state. Now, if you believe I'm a man of God, then you need to listen to me about our spiritual state. If you don't want to do that, then go to hell. All right? Spiritual state. God's going to do his part. He's doing his part when he tells you about your spiritual state. Striving is a godly spiritual exercise. Absolutely. But it is manifest in this flesh. Amen. Understand that? Yes. You're not striving when your flesh is not, you know, you're not trying to get to the tabernacle if your body don't get there.
Amen.
And any damn body that's here and don't strive to get to the tabernacle, you're on your way to hell.
Amen.
Look me in the eye. You're on the way to hell. Now, if you don't want to, you might as well leave.
Yes.
Huh? All this pretty flowery stuff is not going to help you. Your spiritual state is not good. You got a sorry spiritual state. You're not right before God. That's what I want to tell you. You need to get right before God. Huh? And I can tell about our spiritual state by our damn nonchalance. I tell you every day, God does not like nonchalance. Amen. You don't like nonchalance, do you?
No.
When you talk to Renee and she's nonchalant?
No.
Of course not. Oh, we got a damn spiritual state of nonchalance.
Absolutely.
On. Absolutely. Yes. Now you just need to believe that.
Amen.
You're not fervent.
Amen.
No, you're not.
No.
You're certainly not obedient.
Amen.
You're rebellious.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yes. Oh, praise the Lord.
We don't have time to lollygag,
amen.
But understand this is a spiritual exercise. The reason you're doing this is because you're spiritually dead.
Amen.
Has nothing to do with your body. Your body is your spiritual state. You just don't believe
amen.
God like you ought to believe God.
Yes. Come on,
y'all don't know what nonchalance
yes.
is? That's bad stuff, bad stuff, bad stuff. Nonchalance, bad stuff, bad stuff. Sorry about it.
Help me.
You
help
heard
me, Lord Jesus. Change my heart. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful preacher.
Now, I mean it.
Amen.
Now, I, above anybody, am more apt to regard you as a child of God.
Amen.
Yes, you are.
Amen.
True.
But that's not how I'm received. I'm doing this because I regard you as a son of God. This nonchalance, this spiritual apathy, is not going to get you there. It's going to take you right to hell. Because you're saying, I'm all right. Huh? I don't need to strive. And I'm telling you, striving is a spiritual exercise. Absolutely. I strive to get here. I get up early in the morning. Huh? I get my mind on Jesus. Waiting is one of the most difficult postures for the Christian. But it's also the most productive. You hear me? All this moving around got to be doing something. Don't mean you need to, no, I don't. That's how we believe it, though. I got to be doing something. Got to be doing something. I can't waste my time. Why we're wasting our time? Y'all hear me talking? That why we're wasting our time. The most difficult, yet the most productive. Waiting. You need faith for it. In fact, when you do it, you're exercising your faith. You're really leaning on God. I prepare for everything. Now, some are gone now. I guess they have to go to the bathroom.
Thank you, Lord.
Huh? Well, Pastor Rice, don't you know people have to go? Yeah, I do know that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
One time I was at Victory. Y'all know I've been to Victory? You know that faith is a victory?
Yes.
But the young boys were playing ball and they were all sweaty. And then they showed up at the tabernacle. Pastor Roberts rebuked them. He said, don't y'all do that. Don't y'all do that. Huh? All sweating you. He said, you need to present yourself, be presentable when you come in here. But not only physically, but spiritually. I prepare myself to go to prayer. How do I do it? I do it like this. While Rose is running around doing that and doing that and doing that, I'm preparing for prayer.
Amen.
I do it like this. That's how I prepare to get here.
Amen.
I do it like this.
Amen.
You got it all wrong if you think you always got to be doing something. God just wants me to be doing something. And you need to be the vessel to let him do it. That means you have to be still. You have to wait on it. Well, I'm glad you are, not too many. I'm still going to cleanse my hands, though. Understand that. When I leave here, I'll have peace. I'll have a melody ringing in my heart, a melody of love. Absolutely. Now, this is a demonstration of how God sees your nonchalance. Yeah, believe it like that or not, God just don't like it because it don't give him a regard. It don't give him the respect that he's due. It don't honor him. You know, all of his warnings, all of his admonitions. Nonchalant said, hell with that. That's what we are, nonchalant. What left our first love. One place it say you left your first love. The other one it say you're damn lukewarm. The same difference. There's no difference. There's no difference now. Y'all know lukewarm and left your first love, the same thing. And the answer is the same, return. So I'm going to just, you accept this nonchalance. We are soldiers. Hell, we're supposed to fight against nonchalance and covetous, all evil. We're the Lord's army. Absolutely. Don't act like we're on the devil's side. He's not for you. Don't be for him. And we all get excited, but what do we get excited about? Not the things of God. I'm sorry, I live here. We need to come here with open face, open hearts. Amen. 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 Open face, open heart. Not sour face. Not poker face. Huh? Y'all know what poker face is? Ain't nothing going on there. Ain't nothing going. That's poker face. We don't need to have poker face. Or we just say that let our face shine. Oh, the love of God emanating, radiating. Well, why do you preach like I'm excited about Jesus? So I do know. And what your nonchalant says, well, right, that don't mean nothing. You shouldn't be like that. Well, you're a damn liar. Amen. Yeah. You mean we should get excited about everything but Jesus? You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. Nathan Beltre, he's calling just about every day. Well, yeah, that's how most of us started out. I still remember Brother Stair telling us about when Kevin used to run. It seemed like I remember it more than Kevin. But every time I see Kevin, I think about it. I see. I see. Y'all remember Brother Stair used to, you know, Kevin used to get off from work and he looked, oh man, I gotta run. Here, turn the prophet on. See? Well, what happened? Y'all quiet on me now. I'm just too direct, aren't I? Huh? We just use him for example. Huh? Are you still running? Hallelujah. You still delight yourself in the Lord? You delight yourself in the Lord. He delights in you. Hallelujah. And what your nonchalance say is, Pastor Rice, you ought to apologize. I'm not. No. Just like David. They talked about it. David said, if I could do more, I would do it. You're nonchalant. Say, well, Pastor Rice, you ought to come on over on our side. Hallelujah. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. You better get on the Lord's side. Oh, you better get on the Lord's side. Huh? Long as I'm able, I'm going to tell of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm sorry. Now don't you be mean with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, waiting is most difficult because it's most productive. Prayer is most difficult. Absolutely. It's one of the most powerful weapons we have. When we pray in faith believing. Huh? But, you know, thank you, Lord. So the ones that have a little excitement about them, everybody else look down on like they're fools. How do they do it? By their nonchalance. You know, the man said, I found my sheep, rejoice with me. Well, when somebody rejoicing, then rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. Your nonchalance ain't rejoicing with me. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm not speaking of an outward show. I'm talking about an inward work. If your nonchalance is trying to tell me, well, Pastor, you ain't hearing what I'm saying. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Jeremiah says, like fire. Shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. Because he determined not to speak the word. Because he gets such bad response. You know that. He speak the word, they treat him like a dog. They throw him in the dungeon. They act like he ain't saying nothing. He said, man, I ain't going to say that no more. He said, but he couldn't help himself. He said, man, it's like fire shut up in my mouth. I got to speak it. Got to tell somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I have fear when I see our spiritual state, especially when I tell you, you don't believe me. You know, behold you spisers and wonder. That's what I see. I tell you every day. Nonchalant is just not you're not meeting the standard. Not even close. You can't get excited about Jesus. You can't do nothing else for him. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. Huh? The word say, delight yourself in the Lord. Huh? We're talking about a spiritual exercise. Hallelujah. I kicked Brother Kevin. I'm trying to repent because I really wasn't. I was trying to kick the table. Praise the Lord. So I'm trying to, you know, make sure that he know that I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Hallelujah. Of course, if you want to kick me back, you can. Hallelujah. I'll suffer. Hallelujah. I know somebody. Let me kick him. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. But the nonchalance just, you know, it makes the word of God null and void. Really. Because God's word, it has power. Yeah. Yeah. There's wisdom in it. There's safety. And nonchalant just say, no, not really. That's what nonchalant say, no God. No God. No God. That's what nonchalant says. Now, maybe that's not what you want to do, but your nonchalance shows your spiritual condition. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Otherwise, it wouldn't matter if your nonchalance didn't say how spiritual dense and apathetic you were. It wouldn't mean it. But your nonchalance shows your spiritual apathy, lack of vitality. That's what it shows. Okay? It's not good. You need to strive. You need to ask God to stir up something in you. Quicken me, Lord. Oh, see, we got the two camps in the house. Y'all know that, don't we? We got the camps. That's not right, you know. They need to do it like me. You are a liar. If we would do it like you, then we'd put you up here. Since you're not up here, then you need to listen to what I say. If you're not going to listen to what I say, then go away. Don't be a hypocrite. Hallelujah. I've got a couple of scriptures I'll read before I finish here. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's no fault in Him. Hallelujah. Y'all know where the fault is in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We would just receive it like that. I say again, nonchalance manifests our spiritual condition. It manifests our sad, sorry spirit. That's what it does. That's what nonchalance does not say, I'm on fire for God. Nonchalance say, He really don't excite me. That's what nonchalance says. This word don't move me. That's what nonchalance say. See? Now, at least you know that I told you. Well, you always talk about nonchalance. Yeah, it dishonors God. Nonchalance dishonors God. Yeah, it dishonors God. He's worthy. Well, what might happen after this? Well, somebody might come and say, well, you know, Pastor Rice, so-and-so were too loud. Y'all know that happens? You know what I do with it, don't you? I spit it out. Absolutely. I spit it right. So don't even come tell me. All right? Don't come tell me. See, I tell the truth. You're not one of them, huh? You come and complain about somebody being too loud, huh? Praise the Lord. We should more complain about the ones that's too quiet. That would be righteous. That would be righteous. Huh? That would be righteous. I would hear that. But I'm not going to hear that. This is somebody being too noisy. Hallelujah. That's the lie we bought into. I'm going to find a scripture in Hebrew. I'm going to be done shortly. But yeah, sometimes I look at my phone and I see them divers way up. What, 20, 30, at least 20 meters. But, yeah. And they dive and do all kind of stuff. And, huh? Do you know how much preparation that takes? Huh? One act, do you know how much preparation it takes? Now, just think about it spiritually. That's why this nonchalance is so devastating. Now again, folk aren't going to believe me about preparing. I'm going to do it again. Before I go to prayer, I prepare. Now, if I was going to go to sleep like some of you, I wouldn't have to prepare. But since I'm going to go and actually present my body and say, pray through me, then I prepare. And this is how I prepare. Okay. course, you say I'm wasting my time because I got to get something done. I get more done. That's why I say waiting is the most difficult, because they don't understand how much productivity is in it. And the devil don't want you to understand. And your flesh is never going to agree. Your flesh is going to say, if you're not doing something, you ain't getting nothing done. Imagine, you know, us working ourselves up with something frustrating before going to prayer. Now, sometimes you get blindsided, but actually do something you know is going to frustrate you before you go to prayer. Pick a fight with Neil before you go to prayer. See, the devil loves it. Absolutely. Hebrews 6, hallelujah. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his saints in his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence, to full assurance of hope unto the end. They go together. Diligence and full assurance of the hope. Full assurance of the hope. We're saved by hope. Hope is not seen. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we have diligence. Then do we with patience wait for it. We have an earnest expectation, which means we're not lackadaisical. We're not apathetic. We're stirred up. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I understand that I may make some of you angry. That's not my intent. But I do intend to make my point. And I know that if you don't receive it, then you'll probably be offended.
Amen.
You understand.
My God.
But if I do it the other way, then I do you a disservice.
That's right.
And I do God a disservice.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
They call them harlots.
Yeah.
They vote them in, they vote them out.
Amen.
Huh?
Thank you, Lord.
Now, you all can do with me whatever you want.
Right.
I mean, they threw old Jeremiah in the dungeon.
Right.
Y'all can throw me in the dungeon.
Amen.
Yes, you can.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If that's what God wants, I've got no problem with it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Huh?
Amen.
Y'all can put me on a boat and ship me out of here. Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me finish this. We got to quit here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It goes on to say, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence.
Amen.
Diligence.
Amen.
To the full assurance of hope.
Amen.
They go together. No assurance of hope, no diligence.
Amen.
That's why I tell you, nonchalance
Amen.
Is not full assurance of the hope.
Amen.
You all think that nonchalance, you can be quiet. Well, as long as you're excited. You understand what I'm saying? But poker face is not, no. No, no. Excitement shows up somewhere. Huh? Twinkle in the eye, something. You know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Yeah, if there's something going on, it'll show up somewhere. Yeah, it will. Yes, it will.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, some think it's all right to, you know, cater to that. Cultivate it. How do you know? They keep doing it. You know, if you don't oppose it, it'll keep happening.
Amen.
I'm going to read on. After that, it said that you be not slothful.
Right.
That's lazy.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is.
Amen.
That's lazy,
Jesus.
Not willing to exert any effort.
Amen.
That's what slothful is.
Amen.
Now, just put it in the spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you all like to tell me you're exerting all this spiritual energy and you look like zombies. I don't believe that. I just don't. I don't believe that. You can tell me, but I don't believe it. I believe God. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's begotten us again to a lively hope. We're lively stone. Hallelujah. Be not slothful. Be not lazy. Be willing to put forth effort. But be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. All right. So you being slothful, then you're not a follower of those who through patience and faith inherit the promise. Well, do you expect me to follow your faith? I do. I find it in the book. I got another scripture. Now, the only thing is, I believe what I'm saying. You're not going to back me up. Either I'm going to believe God or I'm not going to. I believe God. The other one's still in Hebrew. Y'all want to hear it? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content. How powerful, huh? With such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Y'all want me to read on? Remember them which have the rule over you. Well, that don't mean nothing to you, does it? Who has spoken unto you the word of God. Well, what does that mean? Huh? Whose faith follow? Well, what does that mean? See? I'm going to preach it. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to preach it in the name of Jesus. Have you found some occasion to go contrary to this, then what can I say? You're going to believe something over the word of God? It's saying, whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Hallelujah. Paul said to him that they be thou an example. Yeah. My prayer is for me to be a good example. Shouldn't I pray it like that? You should pray the same. Why? Because Christ is our example. So since he's our example, we are example. He pleased not himself. Our example. Huh? He humbled himself. Our example. He became obedient. Our example. See, all this bull crap y'all talk. It's just bull crap. Y'all say things that come against these simple truths. Yeah, you say I'm underhanded behind the back, but yeah. Come on. I hold to the word of God, the simple, plain word of God. Christ pleased not himself. He humbled himself. He became obedient. Huh? I guess go to the tabernacle when everybody else goes. It's just too much to ask, huh? Be fervent in spirit. Too much to ask. We can't do that. See? Obey. Oh, no, can't do that. See? Spirit's calling y'all out. See? Well, that's because it's in my heart. Everybody understand? I'm not making up stuff. This is what's in my heart. Have you all, when you see your children going the wrong way, making bad choices, doesn't it bother you? Don't you know we're God's children? Don't you know all these things bother him? When he buys books and sends us to school and we, come on. Come on, saints. Praise the Lord. And we tell you, you know, who the enemy is and how to resist him, and you just try another way.
Amen.
The only way we will resist the adversary is submit to God.
Amen.
How do we submit to God? Well, we obey him.
Yes, absolutely.
He said, obey them that have the rule over you. Then we're going to outdo the devil. We'll have to do that.
Yes.
I see. You see why most of us are nonchalant in them. That means we're in the devil's camp. Sleep on guard duty. See what I mean? And of course, it doesn't bother us because we're in deception, we're in delusion, and we figure nonchalance is fine. Pastor Rice will be done in a few minutes, and I'll continue doing as I do. No? Okay. But understand, Pastor Rice will be clear. God will be justified. Understand that. All right. Just understand that. All right, go on. They say, go on with your bad self. Hallelujah. See? When Paul talked about the resurrection, they said these things are strange to our ears. Certainly these things shouldn't be strange to our ears. When I talk about diligence and earnest expectation and, come on, fervent prayer, they're not strange to hear, huh? When I talk to about humiliation or humbling yourself and becoming obedient, huh? Yeah, that's not strange to hear, is it? Or for some it is. For some it is. You know why? I can see the look on your face, and then I can see how you do after. So they're strange to your ears, which means you don't bring them in. You keep them as strangers. Yeah, I know Pastor Rice said be diligent, but it's a stranger to me. I really can't identify with that. He said I should go to the tabernacle, but you know there's something else telling me not to. It's not going to the tabernacle in itself. It's that spiritual state that keeps you from going. It's a spiritual state that you don't want to go. See what I mean? Oh, you ask everybody, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but they're in such a state they can't go. And here we are. Yeah, I want to be here and ready when Jesus comes, but then we don't act like it. And I know you're trying to get me over on your side, see? See, I don't go to the tabernacle, see? I'm doing okay. Hell no. I'm telling you right now, you are in a sorry spiritual state. Absolutely. Y'all wouldn't want me to tell you otherwise, would you? Hallelujah. Now, the ones that don't turn in the money, they know who they are. And they know that we know they still don't turn it in. What can I say about that? Huh? What can I say about that? Hmm? Of course, whatever we need here, we can get it. You don't need any money. No. Teresa ain't got too much money. Absolutely not. But whatever we've got, she's got. Same with y'all. Well, what about you, Pastor? I don't have a house. My house is sold. That's not so with everybody here. See what I'm saying? What can I say? Huh? What can I say? Y'all think you're hiding from God? Huh? You think selling your house is going to get Pastor Rice into the kingdom? I already sold my house. I'm laying my life down. I believe I ought to do it. I have grace for this. Yeah, I'm endeavoring to hold back nothing. Because the God I serve gave his all for me. Gave his all for you. Now, when we hold back, we don't say that. You understand that. You can be as double-minded as you want to be. As long as we hold back, we said then God didn't give us everything. Oh, yeah. And we also say God can't take care of me. See? All right. Just understand. You that are holding on to yourself, just understand that.
Hallelujah.
We got to have a little bit of say-so, don't we? Well, we do. You know, when we have means to get stuff and we don't have to ask anybody. I see. Well, come on. We don't have to run it up the flagpole. No? Well, y'all didn't think you were hiding from God, did you?
No.
I see. Well, that's in your favor.
Yes.
If we could hide from God,
thank you, Lord.
We would do it.
Right.
And we'd be damned.
Thank you, Lord.
But the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good.
Nothing.
Of course, I still love you, you know.
Thank you, Lord.
Huh? Even though you got houses and you got credit cards, I still love you. Everybody understand? That's why I talk like this. Is that all right? Hallelujah. We're going to let somebody pray now. Let me say, we will not get by with anything. I'm saying it in a better way than Brother Simon said it. We ain't going to get by with nothing.
Amen.
Well, you understand.
Amen.
Not good grammar, but it has some effect. Now, let me sort of explain that. We think that somehow we can sort of sidestep God, you know. I don't want to obey Pastor Rice. I'll just say I believe the prophet. We won't get by with that. Now, even though I say that, folk do it. The ones that left here, that's what was in their heart. Y'all know that? As long as you know that. And there was different responses to that. Some encouraged them. Absolutely. Some were in agreement with them. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Some said, man, they got to go. That's what Spencer said when he got here. He said, man, they got to go. That's what Edith said when she got here. That's what Kirk said when he got here. They went. He's going to purge out all the rebels. Hallelujah. But everybody wasn't saying that. No. They were conniving with them for their own cause. Absolutely. I understand you're not going to stop me and slow me down. I'm just opening things up. This is called revelation. You know, we got people in here think they're prophet, but this is revelation. Y'all know what? Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, but the more you preach, the more gets in my heart to say. I'm going to start out with clarifying something that some people don't know. I have no income. When we went to Grace, our house was sold. Every payment for that house went right straight to the ministry. When my husband died, my survivor pay was signed over to the ministry. And even now, the little tiny amount of SSI that I get goes right straight to the farm account.
Amen.
I have not seen one little shiny penny of any of it. But I have shoes. I have an abundance of clothes and food and a wonderful little house that keeps me warm and dry.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I have something even more important than that. And it was something I prayed for before I even came here. Lord, give me sisters and give me somebody to sing at the sink with.
Hallelujah.
I was greeted by a sister, and I have a sister that sings whether she's at the sink or not.
Hallelujah.
And we can sing together. And those are the more valuable things to me, the walking with the Lord. And are there times when I miss it? Oh, God, I hate it. But yes, yes, I do hate it. And all the little sneaky connivings and thinking that you're not seen, God makes sure you're seen. He sees, and he makes sure somebody's there to see. And I agree with Pastor, posture is everything. And if you slouch down and allow yourself to sleep through the word, or yawn until we can see your southern orifice through your mouth, don't even bother to cover it or be ashamed for it. I'm sorry, but I'm an old mama and a teacher. And to me, if you were my child, I would knock you on the floor. We need the fear of God, all of us. There are some that don't think they need it, but I'm sorry, you do.
We do.
You need the fear of God. And the only way you're going to have that is the agape, the love of God, not the people stuff. And we need to be delivered. Yes, all of us. There is not a one of us that doesn't have some area in their life that still is holding on to them. I have no family. No blood relation, except for Seth. And he's still here.
Amen.
But just like his sisters and all the rest of my family, if he walked away, I don't even think I'd mourn. I've come too far. I've fought too hard. I have been cast down, beat up. Do I hurt physically? I won't let folks know what I'm fighting because I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
And he may take me to his bosom using what's going on inside of me. Last night, I felt like Jacob. My pillow was a stone. It wouldn't let my head go to sleep. But I knew God was present because the rest of me was absolutely pain-free. No kicking, no nothing, just totally relaxed. And every time another wave attack of doubt, of pushing me down face first in the dirt. Nah. You don't do this right. You don't do that right. You don't live up to my standards. That kind of stuff. But most of all, it was, you're not born again. Your name's not still there in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of that stuff kept coming at me. And I'm like, what am I doing? What? Yeah, I'm tired. I am tired. And I went through about 6 months of, Lord, just please, I'm tired. Can I go home now? But then he revived me again. I still have to struggle because I can't breathe well and the air just doesn't allow it. But I know he's in it and I know he's going to help me. And I know I can lean on a family member if I need to. But when I got down to the end of it and I finally looked at the clock and realized that I had less than 30 minutes till the alarm went off. I was rejoicing because like Jacob, I kept telling that devil he could just back off and he could just forget it. I am going to fight the fight of faith. I am going to stand. I said, I'm quiet. I don't do a lot of loudness, but I'm fighting.
Hallelujah.
And I'm fighting for him. You know, he said something to you about preparation. I have lived in his presence since, it was 2000 when I started seeing him prepare. And I prepare. I get up at 4:30 in the morning. And the first thing I do is thank Jesus for the air in my lungs.
Thank you, Lord.
The fact that I don't have a leg that is totally not working. I get up, turn off the alarm, turn on the light, and I'm gone. I'm going as fast as I can. Why? Because there's somebody waiting for me in the wash house.
Hallelujah.
And every day I go and I sit with him and I listen to the words. And I sing with him. And I praise him. And my time in the wash house is a time of fellowship. And the fact that he gave me that position, and I do believe it. It came through the man of God. And he has given me strength.
Hallelujah.
To keep doing it. Even when I was so down, I didn't even know I could get out of bed. I'm not patting me on the back. Please, if you get that in your head, shame on you. I forgive you. My God is strengthening me. And the God of Jacob is my God.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, the real truth is in me.
Hallelujah.
And that devil that keeps coming at me periodically, you know, to put me down in the dirt, he's a liar. And one of these days, you'll see the victory. Because God gives me the victory. And I love washing the feet of God's children and scrubbing their dirty stuff and getting it clean. Because one day, instead of blue jeans and dirty sheets, it's going to be robes of purest flax. White and glistening. And we will see the reason. And there will be no more suffering. We will see Jesus. And we will be one. And that's my hope and my prayer. And I think we all, if you see somebody else not functioning right, I don't think it's wrong to reach over and poke them in the elbow or shaggle their chair. Come on, let's help each other. I understand that we got old bodies and we're tired and stuff. But that's why I've got my little fidget nibbles. If I feel myself going down, I have something I kind of nibble on. But we need to focus on what's going on and what's being said and stop arguing with it. We need what he's saying or we're going to die. And there's so much division still here. Your way is not right. And if you think your way is above God's way or better than your neighbor's way, then you're a division. And we aren't all the same. I cannot ask this little guy to do what this guy does. It's not going to happen. So let's respect one another as members in particular and start loving him and loving the truth about ourselves. It's not about Charlene. I love Charlene. My God. We've been friends for what? 20 years or more? It's not about Charlene. It's not about Neil. Everything that comes out of his mouth that is the oracle of God is for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And if you don't think it's for you, then you're missing out.
Amen.
And you're going to be weak.
Thank you.
And you're not going to be able to keep. You need to feed me like a hungry baby. Feed me. So I have strength to stand. This is a horrible time. Now, I pray God, that, like I said, it all just kept growing in me as he kept preaching. But he is my God. And I love the people of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm an old teacher. I'm an old mama. And I'll tell you, I get stern. But you know what? That's what God does with me.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
So,
you know.
So, anyway, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
And I pray that if I've upset anybody, please forgive me.
Amen. All right.
God bless you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 All right. So you all understand why I always say the truth is about you. If you don't get that, then you don't hear the truth. That's first. If you're going to receive the truth, you have to know it's about you. That's a high hurdle. That is a high hurdle. Now that's the truth. That's about you. Okay? Hallelujah. All right, we got a new convert here coming into the congregation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. All right. So we're going to, well, you know, whenever I hear the words of faith, then it stirs up faith. That's why I'm trying to emphasize hearing of faith. The words say, how did we receive the Spirit? By the hearing of faith. So this is something we must always exercise, the hearing of, just being here is not the hearing of faith. Hearing of faith is when you receive it as truth, then it works for you. Now, most of what I say isn't received as truth. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, that's the truth. Because I think too highly of myself. Or, you know, nobody knows like I know. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's common to man. Absolutely. That's how children are. I mean, they get a certain age, they don't know anything, but at the point when they know more than you. Well, as much as it naturally, so it is spiritually. You all understand that? So that's where some are. They know more than me, which may be true, but they don't have what I have to give. Everybody understand? Hallelujah. She was talking about fellowship, and that's how we have fellowship one with another. When I wake up in the morning, then, you know, I start the fellowship. Sure. And then when I meet you, I'm ready to fellowship. But everybody don't start off with fellowship, and then when you meet up with them, they're not ready to fellowship. They won't grind axes, or they won't throw rocks. They don't want a fellowship. Well, I want a fellowship. See? That's so my fellowship is with him, so I can have fellowship with you. And that's how it's written. Hallelujah. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So the hearing of faith. Let me see. I can find it probably. Is everybody all right? Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, the devil, he's always got his say. You know that, don't you? And God's wisdom tells us that he's a liar. That's we just need to walk in wisdom then. Yeah, we belong to Jesus, and praise the Lord. That's not our doing. It's our testimony. Now, fellowship, a good part of fellowship is me thanking God. Somehow we think that saying thank you doesn't mean anything. How do you know, Pastor? Well, I stand here. I exhort you to say it, and you don't do it. Well, come on. Come on. Come on. That's how I know. We just don't see the sense in saying thank you. God ought to know. Right? Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Give God the praise. Praise the Lord. Give God. Oh, hallelujah. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Praise the Lord. Give God. I was in darkness. I couldn't find my way. Jesus shined the light and turned it into day. Wherein he loved me, he gave the victory. Praise the Lord. Give God. Okay, well, let's try to finish with this one. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well then, are we so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit? Are we going to come in here receive some other way? If we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith, now how are we going to, when Pastor Rice preach? How are we going to profit? By the hearing of faith? Or by the flesh? That's what it says here. Now, by the flesh, you don't receive what I say. And it's evident. And by the Spirit, I say nonchalance is unacceptable to God. That's what I say. I say it by the Spirit. Your flesh say, no, this is the way I do it. I see it every day. And you try to convince me and everybody, yeah, it's not my flesh, it's my Spirit. You're a liar. That's your flesh. And it's sickening and sad that we have to talk to folk who say they're saved like this. Absolutely. It's just downright crazy. People say they love God and they've been saved by grace and they won't say thank you, Jesus. Yet they say everything else that I tell them not to say. And what I tell them to say, they won't say. And they say they're walking in the light. Their face get all turned around and twisted. I'm looking at some faces now. See? I'm not going to back up, though. Because what they're saying is, I'm not saying it right. Well, I guess when it's your turn to preach, you'll say it right. See? We are a soulful bunch. Absolutely. Absolutely. It dishonors God.
Amen.
It represents a sad spiritual state.
Amen. True.
Just don't forget that.
Amen.
Your nonchalance doesn't say that you're in a good spiritual state.
Amen.
It says that you're not.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Now, I guess there's somebody want to argue with me.
Hallelujah.
See it a different way?
Yes.
We have time. If someone wants to explain how their nonchalance glorify God, how it says that they are spiritually elite, then come on and tell us. We don't want to hear it otherwise. If you're not going to tell us now, we don't want to hear. All right? If y'all are so spiritual, you know what nonchalance means, then come up here and tell us. If it's different than what I say. Nonchalance is not good spiritual state. Sluggish.
Yes.
See what I mean?
Yes. Absolutely.
Of course, we're comfortable in it.
Thank you.
That's because of the spiritual state we're in. You know, otherwise we say, oh, help me, God. Help me, God. Oh, help me, God. Help me, God. But instead we say, well, he ain't talking about me. See? You know, he need to take care of his own self.
Thank
See?
You,
I've just been around too long.
Oh, yeah. Thank you,
praise the Lord, saints.
Thank
All right. Kurt, you going to pray for us?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Phil, you done cutting trees? You got some more to do. A little bit more. How many did you drop?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for your watch and care throughout the night. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to the dining hall. Help us, Lord, to hide this word in our heart, that we can keep our focus. Help us, Lord, in this waiting. It's wearing us out, but let it be in our heart to endure, and may our focus be on seeing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in peace. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kurt, for praying for us. You got a scripture, Brother Tim? Word?
Finally found it there.
Found it.
It says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, incline thy heart to understanding. Yea, thou criest after knowledge, if thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear of the Lord, we need it. You walk in the Spirit, brother, much as God give me grace. Old Doug used to say, you don't mind if I call you Sergeant, do you? Let me just tell y'all the truth. If we were somewhere else and you all were my soldiers, I'd fire most of you.
Right.
that tells y'all walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Absolutely. I wouldn't put up with that.
All right. Amen. Yes.
Now, after the Lord is coming.
Yes.